All right, so open up your Bibles to where? Come on, open up your Bibles to where? To 2 Corinthians. No, I'm just joking. James. Okay, open up your Bibles to James. James, let's look at the fourth chapter. And we're going to be talking about tonight something that you know nothing about. Conflict. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. James chapter 4, starting with verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Where do they come from? Well, James is going to answer this. Do they not come from your desires? Everybody say your desires. For pleasure that war in your members. You lust and you do not have. You murder, you covet, and you cannot obtain. You fight and war that you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you might spend it on your own pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enemy with God? Wow, strong language here. I love God because he loves us enough to speak to us and be direct. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enemy with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself. Whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That pride there is a key to this whole passage. Everybody say pride. It's a key to that whole passage. We'll pick that up in a minute. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. So let's talk about this conflict, and let's break it down a little bit. Where does conflict come from? What is the essence of it? Why is there conflict? Well, there's conflict because there's these differing desires, these opposing ideas or opposing thoughts. And when those opposing thoughts come together, it creates conflict. There's three basic realities that where conflict comes from. One, first, the desire to have something. The desire to have something. And we live, and we spend quite a bit of time teaching this, but we live in a materialistic world, and we're marketed to so much that we start to wrongly think that something that we obtain, something that we have, something that we purchase is going to cause us to obtain happiness or contentment. The conflict comes in, God doesn't think that way. He knows, the Bible says, in him we live and move and have our being. that the desire for the things in this world are not going to provide for us the satisfaction that we think they're going to provide. And so when we think that way, we get conflicted because inside our spirit doesn't think that. Understand, in all of us, we have the soul and we have the spirit. We have we have the new nature, but we've lived with the old nature for such a long time. That's why the Bible says, put on garments of righteousness. And he says to put on garments of righteousness, speaking to people who are already born again. So, well, Paul, what are you talking about, put on garments of righteousness? I'm already born again. No, he's talking about renewing your mind. Because even though you're born again, you know what? Many times we are born again, but we've lived a lot of years in the world. Is this making sense to anyone? So the conflict comes in the old. That's why don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. How do you get transformed? By the renewal of the spirit. Somebody say no. No, you don't have to renew this spirit. Not if you're born again. Why? Because the spirit is already renewed. Amen? You have to renew your mind. So the conflict comes in that you. But how many recognize just... How many know sometimes it takes a process for you to change your mind? And so you have to work through that conflict, because this part on this side is saying, no, you know what? Please understand, as soon as you obtain this thing, then you're going to be happy. And you have to remember that if that was true, you would have been happy when your flesh told you to buy that last thing that you bought. Right? But we sometimes forget what is true, and so there's this conflict. Many times you're thinking, man, you know, or part of you knows. Somebody say, part of me knows. Part of you knows that's not going to satisfy. And I'm not saying that there's... I'm not saying that there's really anything by itself wrong with purchasing something. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm saying that where you get gummed up is when you start to think that when you purchase that, that's going to provide happiness to you. Amen? And so you think that you're... And then... You get more conflicted because I don't know who I'm talking to. But many times you can't afford that, but you don't want to wait and save for that. So you whip out the credit card, and the Bible says that what does the Bible say? That the borrower is slave to the lender. Watch this. And then you have that. Richard, go ahead and just give me that Kleenex box. And see, they told you, you know what? If you just buy this, look. I mean, look, it even, look at how it even comes out. Wow. And look. And there's more than one. Look at that. Wow. And it's even kind of like a butterfly when it comes out. Hello? Has anybody ever seen QVC or one of those programs? And they'll just, I mean, they'll spend, you know what, 35 minutes talking about, and look, it's so white. And look, it's got a crease in it. And let's measure the crease. This is a 6-inch crease. And then the person next to him is like, yes. And look, it just, if you throw it up in the air, look at the lightness. Look at this can be all over your nose. Do you see how soft it just? And you're thinking, well, I can't afford that. Well, they have the answer to that too, don't they? You know what? They just got 3 easy payments, you know what I mean? I noticed they never said 3 difficult payments. It's always 3 easy payments or 4 easy payments or whatever. And I'm just saying, you're conflicted because you can't afford this, but they provide a way for you to have this, and you know if this would have satisfied you, then the this that you bought before would have satisfied you, and that didn't satisfy you either, and this ain't going to satisfy you either. Are you getting this? Okay, I got to blow my nose now. No, I'm just kidding. But if I do, I'll be ready, right? So, it just doesn't satisfy. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And starting with the 16 verse, look at this. Let me read. Then he came to parable saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plenty. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods. Lay up for many years. Everybody say many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. That's what the world says. Next verse. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Whose will those things be which you have provided? That's a good question, huh? So is he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich towards what? Yeah, towards God. Next verse. Then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you should eat, nor about your body, what you should put on. Life is more than food, and your body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barns, and God feeds them. How much more value are you than these birds? And which of you worrying can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God clothes the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow thrown in the oven, how much more? Everybody say, how much more? Will he clothe you, O you of a little faith? Next verse. And do not seek what you should eat, nor what you should drink, nor have any anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world, listen, all these things, the nations of the world, he's saying the ungodly people, that's what they seek after. And your Father knows that you need these things. God knows. He'll take care of you. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and these righteous, and all these things shall be added. Watch this. Pay attention to this. And all these things shall be added unto you. God is not saying, hey, don't worry about it. You're going to go without. He's not saying that. He's saying what you need to do is focus on him. And then let him take care of you. Next verse. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God is the Bible says God's going to take care of it. So this first conflict, you know what? You won't be conflicted if you just focus on the things of God. You know what? And we get so caught up in, even as people who go to church, we can get conflicted because we think that we need to provide for ourselves. And the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that you would focus on God, the kingdom of heaven, store up not on this earth. That's what he's saying. This guy's a fool, because here's what he does. He's focusing on, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that. And the whole thing is, you know what? He's going to be dead tomorrow. And then what happened to all his stuff? The Bible says, store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Hello? Yeah, but then what about here? What am I able? Well, God says, you know what? Gives you two examples. And he says, look at, I take care of this. I will take care of you. But you need to not be conflicted. And you know what? And just simply watching all the commercials on TV can get you conflicted. Does this make sense? So that's one area where this conflict comes. It's in these desires where you have to have something. Number two, it's in a desires where you think you have to feel something. You know what? And this world is so caught up in how you feel. How you feel. How does that make you feel? How do you feel? How do you feel? And we become so, watch this, so captured or so imprisoned by our feelings. And those feelings will be conflicted, you know what? For we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by our dedication to God and our focus on him. But this world, we've got so captured by how does that make us feel? You know what? Well, I don't feel like doing that. You know, just a great example. We've used it many times, but it's a good example. Tamara's out there. She's picking weeds. It's hot. Why was she picking weeds? Because there's cracks in the parking lot, and in those cracks, you know, the rain comes and weeds come, and people drive by and they make a judgment on the church. That's why we spend a lot of focus on making the church make sure it looks nice. And it's painted, and it's clean, and it's vacuumed. And these, God doesn't care about that. Well, yes and no. He cares about people, and people care about that. Yeah. Amen? So she's out there picking weeds, but it got hot, and nobody's out there with her. You know what I mean? She's doing it alone. And you know what? Huh? You know what I mean? And she just felt like it wasn't right. And she says, oh, I ain't doing this no more. You know what I mean? You know what? Hey, I had enough, man. I don't feel like it. And God spoke to her, ministered to her, and said, I love this. Who asked you? And we look at that. It's like, who asked you? Man, God, you're rude. Don't you care about my feelings? Well, let me put it this way. He doesn't exalt your feelings like we exalt our feelings. And that doesn't mean that he's not tender for you, to you. It does not mean that he doesn't love you. It just means that there's an exaltation of how we feel, and it is conflicted with our spirit that says, hey, don't exalt that. Is this making sense to anybody? Okay, and then the third, and there's this isn't a a thorough list, but it's probably three of the top three. And number three, we get conflicted. We desire to be somebody, and there is this competition with the family down the street. And many times, getting back to the finances or the materialism, many times we get conflicted because we think we're in a race with, somebody down the street, and they have, they have a house like this, and they drive a car like this, and and their kids go to school like this, and they wear clothes like this, and they, whatever the this is, and they, and they have all this stuff. And we think that we get conflicted because we want to be like them. Yeah. Come on. Who's the them? You know what I mean? I remember one time, listen, if you're wearing something Nike, don't get upset with me. I didn't know what you're gonna wear before you put it on. I don't care if you have Nike on, but I'm just using this as an example. Okay, can I use this as an example? And I bought this Nike shirt and I really liked it. It was white. It was just a white shirt, but I liked it, and it had a little swoosh like here, and it was almost a new shirt. And I got it out and I was all, oh man, I was just kind of anyway. You know how we get, and I was ironing it. And I ironed the swoosh. Okay. Thank you. And the swoosh went swoosh. The swoosh melted. You know what I mean? The swoosh mushed. I mushed my swoosh. But you know what? The thing that freaked me out is how like bummed out I was that the swoosh got mushed. I was really bummed. And I think the Holy Spirit kind of used that and said, you know what I mean? You know how the Holy Spirit is. He's like, really? Because I knew there was way too much bummed outness. I know that's not, good English, but I was just too bummed about, about the iron. And, I was like, really? Really? The shirt was still nice. It just didn't have that cool cat, you know what I mean? And what's that really about? It's really about marketing that somebody else who's all that has a swoosh like that. And now you don't. Amen? Does that make sense? Again, I'm not saying that we can't have nice clothes or nice shoes or nice hats or I'm not saying that. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you've got to understand that there can be this conflict going on about something that really you shouldn't be conflicted about. It's about I need to be like someone. I need to have this persona of this. You know what? I love what I heard one pastor who has a very, very large church, and he just put it in perspective. Because pastors can get very, it's like, and praise God, we want to have a large church. But we want to have, it's not so much a large church. We want to grow large people. Does that make sense? But there also is a desire that many people would come to Hope Community Church. There's a desire, and there's part of that desire is a great thing. It's a godly thing. Why? Because we want, listen, I'm glad there's as many people as there are here tonight, but I would prefer that every seat be filled, because I know a seat that's filled, I know that to me that seat represents somebody that's at home watching TV. Does that make sense? It's Wednesday, and that's what most of them are doing. And I think, you know what, I would rather have them here, hearing the word of God, building up their marriages, building up their families, building up their lives, building up themselves. Does that make sense? So that's a great thing. But even as pastors, sometimes that desire can warp into I want to be someone. Is this making sense? And now I'm going to be conflicted then. Where do these desires come from? They come from us thinking that we have to have something, have to feel something, have to be someone. That's where they come. So I want to talk quickly about some ways that we can resolve this conflict. That's a problem. How many would like to know the answer tonight? Okay. Number one, we diffuse conflict by being humble. We diffuse conflict by being humble. Go back to that verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Go back, guys, I don't have that in the notes, but you need to follow me. Let me see where it is. Go back to the first verse. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from the desires from your pleasures that war against your members? Watch this. You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. Now, catch this, what he's saying. We're talking about what's going to reduce this conflict? Humility. Look it. You lust and you don't have. You murder and you covet and you cannot obtain. You fight and you war. What are you doing? You're trying to scratch and claw and manipulate and do all these things. You know what? Because there's these desires that you have. And then in response to that, look what God says. Yet you do not have. Why? Because you do not. What? Ask. Ask who? Ask God. See, it's about humility. Humility will help resolve conflict. Because you're going to go before God and say, oh, God, you know what? I need help. Right? You know, I heard one person say, grace is the ability to obtain favor from God. Does that make sense? So you walk in humility and you start to ask, and God is gracious. The Bible says, Jesus said, anyone who asks receives. And anyone who knocks, the door will be open to him. Whoever will seek will find. Whoever asks, you know what? They're going to receive. But what we do, we're conflicted. We don't resolve that conflict because we're too busy scratching and clawing and manipulating and figuring out how we're going to do it. You know, I love Tamara's example of the chairs that you're sitting in. And we had figured out, and you know what, you know, her boss, and he knows this company, and he knows those people, and you know, he knew that we needed chairs, and we're thinking, oh, this makes sense. But many times, we're just too on autopilot in ourself and figuring out how we're going to do it, and that doesn't resolve conflict. Because a lot of times you're going to scratch and you're going to claw and you're going to crawl over people and you're going to do all these things and you're going to manipulate. You're going to do all these things to try to get what you want. And at the end of the day, you're not going to have what you want. And even if you get what you want, you haven't obtained it the way God wants you to obtain it. How many know it's not just obtaining it? It's about getting things in the right way. Does this make sense? So if you walk in the spirit of humility, you're going to catch it. And God's and all this conflict is going to be, man, it's just so much easier to say, God, you go before me and make the crooked path straight. You do it. I need help, but you do it. Does that make sense? So all this conflict will be resolved when you just humble out and start asking. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. You guys got this? And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you have been called in one body, and be thankful. You know what? Father, I thank you. I'm grateful. I thank you. So you're going to God. Be anxious for nothing. Everything, prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. You're not anxious. You're not doing it. You're humbling out. You're saying, God, take care of this for me. You see how that just resolves conflict? Do you see how it just causes you to go, right? Okay. Number one, you know what? If we're humble, we're gonna resolve this conflict. We're gonna diffuse conflict. Number two, we're gonna diffuse conflict by being alert. Everybody say alert. Look at again verse 7, James 4, 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Look at 2 Corinthians, guys, going back. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. And we know this, the second part, for we are not ignorant to Satan's devices. How many times do I quote that? But watch this. Look what it says. Least Satan. No. Go to 11, guys. Least Satan should take advantage of us. Satan can take advantage of you. How many know that's true? Why? Because here's what happened. You're not aware what's really going on. You're just kind of la 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 la. You know what? And Satan takes advantage of you because you're not sharp. You're not alert. You're not conscious of what's going on. Now, what is the thing that he's talking there? Well, there's a lot of things he's talking there, but go back to verse 10. I'll show you something. Go to 9. For to this end I also wrote, that I might put you to a test whether you are obedient in all things. See, we've got to be sharp in a lot of things, right? But watch specifically what he says in verse 10. Now whom you forgave anything, oh. How many know forgiveness is such a key to you walking in the peace of God? It's such a key. So, you know what, and I've taught you this. It's awesome to know these great scriptures. You know what? In him we live and move and have our being. You know what? Greater is he is in me than he's in the world. You know what? God before goes before us, makes a crooked path straight. You know what? We're not ignorant to Satan's devices. How many of these are great verses to know? But how many know when you put it back in context, all of a sudden that which is big becomes, you know, a boom becomes boom, you know what I mean? A firecracker becomes an M80, right? So it says, now whom you forgave anything, I also forgive. If indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven the one for your sakes in the presence of Christ. Now go to the next verse. Lest Satan should take advantage of us. How does he take advantage of us? He takes advantage of us because we become offended, and we keep that offense. It is the bait of Satan. It is the unforgiveness is the bait of Satan. And so we will not forgive. We hold grudges. We remember things in the past. Amen. 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 Okay, ladies, say amen. Amen. Why do you say lady? Why do you say lady say amen? Can I tell you why? Here's why. Because there's ladies, you have strengths and you have weaknesses. Amen? And men, you have strengths and you have weaknesses. Ladies, one of your great strengths is you have an awesome ability to remember things. Pastor, see, you ladies are smart. You're like, Pastor, I think you are setting us up right now. I am setting you up. It doesn't mean that I'm not telling you the truth. I am telling you the truth. That is an amazing strength. I cannot tell you how many times Tamara has saved, you know what, me from doing something, and she'll say, hey, but don't forget this. Or what about that? Or you want to make sure that you, because she's remembering something that happened, it's an enormous strength. But that same strength has a backsided weakness. Are you hearing me? What's a backsided weakness? Backsided weakness is you remember stuff. Come on. And you don't forget. You know what I mean? And how many know with forgiveness, you need to forget? I'll say that again. How many know with forgiveness, you need to forget? Amen. Amen. So lest Satan take advantage of us. See, understand, God's commandments are not burdensome. If God is saying forgive, then we need to forgive. And we need to understand if we don't forgive, you know what? Then our lives are going to be less than God intended them to be. And Paul's saying, let me tell you what. We're not ignorant to Satan's devices. We're not going to let that happen to us. That's what he's saying. And we need to do the same thing. Now, I'm going to get to forgiveness in a minute. But right now I'm talking about, because I'm going over to forgiveness because of this portion of Scripture. But what I'm really saying is, if you will, you need to be aware of what's going on in the spiritual realm. And if you are aware of what's going on in the spiritual realm, one of the things that will cause you to be aware in the spiritual realm very easily is reading your Bible every day. Amen. Reading your Bible every day is so essential to you getting into the frequency of God, the frequency of the Spirit, so that you are not conflicted. You are. It's like the old radio. Remember, some of you younger people don't even understand this illustration. But there used to be these old radios, and they had these things. They were called knobs. Not buttons, they had knobs. And you didn't hit it and it didn't go, you know, it didn't go up to the number. No. It had this knob and you turned it, and then all the numbers were on this long thing. And it had this red thing, and it would go like this or like that. Okay, just Google it. It's amazing. But you'd turn the knob, and it would kind of go into the, you know what I mean? And you'd start to hear it, but you could dial it in just a little bit this way, because and boom, it would come in clarity. That's what reading your Bible does. It brings things into clarity. If you don't know what book we're in, don't shh. This is not a test. This is a test, but it's a test that you're going to take and know it. So if you don't know it, here's what I'm doing. We're not exposing anyone. I'm going to bust you secretly. Watch it. And I'm going to bust you so secretly that I won't even know if you're busted. So just give me a poker face. But you know what? We are in 2 Corinthians. If you don't know, I don't know that you don't know. I don't know. I mean, but praise God. That's what I'm saying is, if you just would read your and what I like to do is I like to, and I don't do this every time, you know what I mean? But what I like to do is I like to read the chapter. I just want you to read one chapter. Sometimes we read two, but usually just one chapter. But I like to read the chapter in the morning, you know what, later on in the day, and sometimes at night. So I'm just getting it. Or sometimes I'll just read it. It's just a chapter. Sometimes I'll read it just three times right after each other. And what I do is I have my iPhone, and I have, you know what? Matter of fact, it's just, you know, how do you do that? So I, you know, Shayla comes in the other day, and the person was, you know what, reading, you know what, and he's got this British accent, you know what I mean? Why do you have the British accent? I don't know. It just sounds more spiritual. I don't know. I just like it. Amen. You know what? If you know, whatever you want. They're all, what am I saying? I'm just saying I like listening to it over and over and over again. And so it's just so simple and so easy. But that, Jesus said, my words are spirit and my words are life. That spirit is you're tuning it in. And it's, you know, and let me tell you about the word. The word, you know what the best Bible to, the best Bible, you know what the best book to read in is? The Bible. Because it just brings a fresh air of optimism. Just like, it's going to be okay. Because it is going to be okay. But many times we just get so off God's frequency, you know what? And God wants to, and we're not alert, we're not aware, and then Satan comes in, and he gets us depressed, and he gets us discouraged, and he starts, you know what, saying, you're old, and you're ugly, and you're, you know what I mean, all this stuff. Hello? You know what, and your toes, you know, you got a big toe, and you got a big nose, and you know what, and you know, and all this stuff, you know what I mean? Hello? That's right. And he comes, listen, and he comes to discourage you, and all of a sudden you're not even alert of what he's doing. And you're conflicted because your spirit is optimistic. You need to stop being conflicted. You need to open up your word, start being alert, start walking in forgiveness, start to not recognize, not start to be aware of Satan's devices. Is this making sense? Okay. Are you getting anything out of this? I'm glad you came tonight. Okay. Number one, number two, number one, you got to be humble. Number two, you got to be aware, be sharp. You know what? Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 12, quickly, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers in darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts in wickedness in heavenly places. See, you got to be aware of where the battle is. Okay. Number three, you can diffuse conflict by being close to God. You know what? God, I got this going on. I don't know how to fix it, but God help me. Simple prayer. Just drawing close to God. The Bible says if you draw close to God, God will draw close to you. Yeah, amen. So now, watch this. Now, it's not you. See, what's the conflict? The conflict is you're doing all this stuff on your own. God's promised never to leave you or forsake you. You know what I mean? And you're like, no, I got this. I got this. I got this. I got this. And God's like, are you kidding me? You know what I mean? Because let me tell you what, if you would ask me for help, I'd help you. Well, why doesn't God just help me even if I don't ask for help? Because, you know what? Because God, listen to me, this is really important. This is a great question. Because God wants you to ask him. It's deep. It is. It's so simple. Here's why. Because God wants you to ask him for help. Amen. That's it. Amen. You know what I mean? And watch this. And I've told you this before. And if you study this out, please understand, God will resist the proud. I don't need any help. Okay, God is going to resist you. We have like a problem with that theologically. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. God will resist you. God is not into pride. And that's what pride says. I don't need no help. I'm good. I don't need no help. So so you're conflicted. Because as a born-again Christian, you need help. And you have the helper. But you need to ask for his help. The spirit of humility, and God loves it. Now you walk in that humility, and now you have his power to overcome. That's what grace is. It's his power to overcome. It's his power for favor. And finally, you know what? We diffuse conflict by asking for forgiveness. Again, it's just a spirit of humility. It says, you know what, God, I need help. I need help. I need help. Forgive me. And you know what? And God, help me to forgive others. That's the spirit of God. I mean, you want to know the spirit of God? The spirit of God is the spirit of forgiveness. It's the spirit to say, I, you know what, forgive you. That's the spirit of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ. What is that? It's the spirit says, I'm not going to hold a grudge. Jesus, God loved us before we even knew him, loved him. He loved us. Can't watch it. I'm just asking. Are we not responsible to forgive other people? Yes. Yeah, but didn't ask for forgiveness. Okay, I'm just asking. What scripture do you find that in? See, that didn't come from a chapter and a verse. That came from your cousin on the phone. Right? You know what? Or your friend. Man, let me tell you what. I won't put up with that, man. I won't put up with that. That's where that wisdom came from. But that's not from God. That's not from God. And you know, the Bible says, The Bible says, the wrath of man doesn't produce the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God, listen to me, the righteousness of God is going to produce peace in your life. You're not going to be conflicted. You know, this spirit permeates the world, and it's even crept into the church. I don't have to take that. Really? Let me tell you what. That's a spirit. But it's not the spirit of God. The spirit of God was like, man, I forgive people and they are not even asking for forgiveness. I'll forgive people all day long. All day long. Jesus said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Those people weren't asking for forgiveness. Right? Right? But here's what I'm saying. But you know what? If you walk in that reality, let me tell you what, you're going to live a life of joy and peace. You know what? The key, why is there this conflict? Here's why it is. Because you're just not dialed in to the Spirit of God. You're not dialed into the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God is a spirit of humility. The Spirit of God is a spirit of forgiveness. The Spirit of God is a spirit of awareness. See, you dial into all that, And let me tell you, you're not going to be conflicted. You're not. And I'm not saying that you're going to walk in it perfectly, because it's a process. But I'm telling you what, if you're aware, you're going to be aware of what's going on. And even when that flesh rises up, it's going to be a lot quicker that you get it back on the plumb line. Does this make sense? Are you still glad you came tonight?
Yes.
Okay. Isn't James an awesome book? Because James will just tell us right up front. Amen. All right. Did God say something to somebody? Did you say something to somebody? Father, help us to not be conflicted. Help us to humble out and hear what you have to say to us. Help us to be sensitive to the Spirit. Help us to walk in humility. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.